Are your organization's PCs slow, struggling to run those new programs? Are they vulnerable to viruses? Today's versatile and exhilaratingly fast PCs immediately deliver more of what you need for your organization. Power, reliability, mobility, security, and stunning visuals. A new PC has the power to adapt to workloads and help employees get more done in less time by allowing them to multitask effortlessly and move between multiple applications without ever slowing down. The optimal time to refresh your PCs, it's every 3 years. That's when you'll see the maximum payoff. If you've been putting off updating your infrastructure, now is a great time to discover what a PC refresh can do for your organization. Hey there, everyone. James Hilliard with you. And on this episode of Connection Point, fortunate to have Eric Townsend joining me. Eric is the director of MSP and SMB marketing for Intel Corporation. He is here with us today to discuss implementing a PC refresh and talk about what factors you need to consider, research, and evaluate during the process. And Eric, appreciate the time.
I appreciate being here, James.
Let's talk about why folks now should be considering a PC refresh. We're coming into kind of the twilight of 2013.
So first thing to think about is that in 2014, there was some stuff end-of-lifing. So we know that XP, everyone's heard about that. But another interesting product that's end-of-lifing is Office 2003. So what that means is that if let's say on April 8th or April 9th, you want to go down and buy a new version of Office, maybe Office 2014, and try and install it on Windows XP, it will not work. Saying it doesn't work as a platform, you have to install something new. So you got a lot of products coming end of life there in 2014. Also, when you think about refreshing, what people should consider, there's a lot more capability in devices that were made a couple years back, and depending on, you know, who's listening today, their device may be 4, 5, even 6 years old, right? And that relates to touch capability, to battery life. And the interesting thing is that, you know, a lot more business-ready systems available nowadays. So if you think about this, when I say business-ready, these are the things that have security there, built-in, manageability built-in, and they're really rugged enough to handle a business user, whether they're a road warrior or there's someone stays in the office. The business capability being managed, being secure, and something that really can get a lot of productivity out. I think that's something we always miss is, okay, how is this better than that consumer device? Why does it make it, why is business so much better? And it's because it's got things built in with software and security to make users more productive.
And you know, being having a good focus on the SMB side, a lot of organizations out there that make these machines for us have also put in little bundlings of offerings that help the small and medium-sized business manage their machines either individually or a small little fleet. So definitely something for folks to be considering there. Let's talk a little bit about a little more detail about things like touch or other, the new factor and the wow factor in products coming in 2014 that are different from what someone might have purchased during their last refresh. And I'll give you the example. Probably and potentially last time someone refreshed, if they have stretched things a little bit, they might have done it 5 years ago. Odds are back then, laptops went to sales folks, desktop to the rest of the worker bees. Things have changed.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you think about a device, right, you can take a step back and say, okay, what was it, you know, when we talk about 6, 7 years ago, right, when you think about systems that were out there, the example I give is let's take a case study, right? The system that was 4 years ago, it was probably weighed about 7 pounds or so.
Easily.
Right? Now they weigh about 3 pounds, right? From, you know, if you think of this as screen resolution, used to be about 1,300 by 768 was your max. Now it's 1,600 by 900. The display was kind of LCD, but now it's got HD and it's got touch, right? And a big thing people don't think about a lot is, okay, gosh, well, you know, I like all those new features, but what's something that's going to just hit me right off the bat? Like, when I get it, I'm going to notice this the very first day I'm using it. And the first thing I tell people is battery life. Because before, right, if you have a 4 or 5 year old system, that thing goes for about 2, 2.5 hours really good, and all of a sudden it just starts, you know, that blinky light comes on saying, you got to plug me in. Now, battery life, just at a baseline, right? We're talking just base is probably 5 to 6 hours. So that's what you're going to look at. And I think when you think about devices, I talk about, you know, how much they weigh. And I think that kind of goes back to there's these new things called ultrabooks, right? Maybe not new, but they've been around for a while, probably about a year or so, that have now touch implemented them. And the touch thing, a lot of people go, well, you know, touch, it's interesting. I may use it here and there. The one thing I have everyone think about, right, is think about pull out of your pocket, right, your cell phone you have right now. Is that touch? If you're saying I may use touch or I may not, just think about something you use every day. and go ahead and touch that device and tell me you don't use touch, right, or how valuable it'll be. That's something that when you're thinking about buying a system, right, that's not going to be just something you buy for the next, you know, year. It's going to be something you're going to have for the next 3 or 4 years. We've talked a lot about Ultrabooks, which we know a lot about tablets that are out there, but there's new devices, we call them 2-in-1 devices, where basically you can have your Ultrabook whenever you'd like. When you really want a tablet, you can flip it around and it turns into a tablet. You can have Business Ultrabook with Touch. You can have these 2-in-1 devices that are together. And then also the business-ready tablets. So once again, something that's tablets managed, secure. And these are ones that are growing. So all these devices I'm telling you about, there's not just one or two options out there. There's 4, 5, 6 different options out there. And that's something, once again, you didn't have 2-in-1 devices before. You didn't have business-ready tablets in the past. And you didn't have something that had all this touch capability.
Absolutely. And I love what you're suggesting. I think a lot of people are understanding that these days is, all right, touch might not be in our ecosystem now. Maybe there aren't applications that are working well in touch for our specific business now. But again, we're looking at having these machines in our environments for potentially the next 3 years. And if that's the case, you and I can both, yeah, almost guarantee. The other night, my wife handed her laptop to me. I had been reading a book on my tablet. And so I went over and she was looking at some furniture and I touched the screen to move it. And then, I'm here. Let me scroll down, right? Yep. And so it will, you know, creep in there if it's not there already for folks. So I love the advice there. Let's do this as well. I mentioned, you know, kind of the idea that back in the day, hey, salespeople got the laptops, worker bees, we got the, you know, desktops, right? But things have changed. And really now, advice I've heard, love you to expand on this, is that teams need to really evaluate the employee. Find out, who is this person? What are they going to be doing in front of said machine? That's going to help you choose what form factor, security, things like that. Expand on that.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. So a lot of times when I go talk to customers, right, I'm out a lot, and what do you think is the best device? The 2-in-1, the tablet, the Ultrabook? And I'm like, you know, well, first, let's think about a couple things. When you think of a user, right, A, are they in the office or out of the office? And the next perspective is that wherever they're at, then we have to think about, okay, well, what type of security they need? So if they're in the four walls of your corporate, right, a desktop probably would be really good for them. Maybe, depending on what type of applications they use and how innovative or where they're at from a customer perspective, right, do they see customers, you may want to make sure they have an all-in-one. But if you're looking at someone that's really out there a lot, that maybe is very mobile, but let's say they're an engineer that's mobile, they're out of a customer site, you probably want a mobile workstation. Mobile workstation that's going to have the muscle behind to handle all those engineering applications. Let's say you have a salesperson that they do a lot with presentations. They do a lot of things that they'll show people on their notebooks, very visually a big deal for them, and they create a lot. Then you want to make sure that you have them, give them an Ultrabook that's going to have all the power, that you can still manage it because they're going to be remote, right, so that you can do updates and handle if they have a problem. And I think lastly is you have, you know, your executives that maybe want to have the light bag they carry around. They don't really have to show a lot. They more consume things. It's more on that tablet side. And you probably hear me, James, I'm giving you a continuum of the people that consume things and create things. So depending on how you look at it, someone's more consuming, they're on that lighter device, more on that tablet consumption device, whereas they're creating, you're looking to hear me saying a mobile workstation, a desktop, because we know desktops are not going away, right? They're innovating because they're becoming now these all-in-ones that are really cool that have touch. They're bigger screens. But those type of situations, people are creating a lot because they're using really intensive application.
Absolutely. Let's do this. We talked, I think, a lot about kind of the hardware changes. And we mentioned early on the end of life for Windows XP 2013 as well, Office 2013 end of life. Is there anything else kind of on the software side of things that you're telling people, yeah, consider this when you're going through your refresh?
Yeah, so I think software is a big thing, right? And I have a lot of conversation about this because, you know, XP is definitely a big thing. Interesting, I just point this out to everyone, not a lot of people know that April 8th, 2014 is that last day of service, right? That day, there's no more patch updates that come out. If a virus happens, you're not going to get an update, right? We talked about 2003, Office 2003, that's going away. I think another big thing for people to understand is that your in-house software application that you built that maybe was custom or you had certain plugins, will that actually work when XP goes away? And then also think about, okay, the security I have to deal with on those old systems, how am I going to actually handle that? One thing people rarely consider is that a lot of the other devices you have, so I'm thinking those peripherals, those scanners, those printers, those dual monitors you have, right? How are those drivers going to evolve? Because when you think about XP and Office 2013 end of lifing, that means all those other drivers that go with XP will not be updated either. Also, all the other collaboration applications that are out there. So think about if you use like a WebEx software for conferencing, or if you use Dropbox, or if you use SharePoint, all these other business productivity applications are out there, right? Everyone's looking at Windows 7 and Windows 8. So that's where you're going to have to think about it. And I know it's very interesting because people, they always, I love people when people talk about hardware, but I also am very big keeping on, okay, those apps people use a lot. Let's make sure there's a Windows 7 or Windows 8 version of that if you're on XP right now. This whole process we talked in the beginning of, and when I go and upgrade, it's just me going down and buying it or getting my channel partner or whoever it is, my partner of choice, right, to be able to give me a specific system to advise me, right? So if we're advising, making sure, that's just on the hardware side. There's a lot of other software applications you have to deal with.
And you just started touching a little bit too, I think, on the idea of security there, right? You can still run an XP machine. That's fine, but it's not going to be updated. All the security then would fall on you. Do you want to spend your time now as an IT organization creating security patches for a system? You don't, right? So security is also something people that need to be considering. And again, with April 8th looming, that's going to be a big time to probably, in general, just reviewing overall the network, computer, IT security policies at that time is probably a good practice.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because one thing I really people think about is, you know, life moves so fast, and everyone can sit back and go, gosh, it's near the end of the year already, like it just went so fast. So think about this, you know, we're not that far away from April 8th, technically, right? And if you think financially, I don't know how your companies work, but if you think about from a budgeting perspective, you're really not that far away. So know that refresh day is coming, and then also start thinking about, okay, the security and things, the policies and stuff we have in place, is that right level? Because a lot of people know this day is coming, right? And so there's a lot of security things that could happen. I think as we know, every day there's more malware coming out, right? Every day there's more security breaches that are happening, right? So how do you make sure you've got that in place? And then also, one key thing, you know, I really point to folks, is we talked a minute ago about the different type of device, the different type of user. Think about this, right? The device that you have, and this goes for small business, medium business, or enterprises, we see this all the time, the device that's given to a certain user when they first get it, that's sometimes waterfalled to another user, right? Sometimes the newer people that come into the corporation get the waterfall device. Well, think about those newer people that are coming to the company. They're very tech savvy, and they expect touch. Some of these features that we're talking about, like, gosh, that's so cool and innovative for them, it's just a requirement. Think about this. Whenever you're going out and doing, you know, looking at refresh, two things you want to make sure you consider. One, that end user and what's going to make it so that you meet kind of their expectations. The biggest thing also is that IT requirements, so that when that April date comes around, right, and you got to be able to manage all that, do you have the right system so that you can manage it remotely and securely and you keep your whole environment up and running?
Hey, Eric, with that, I do appreciate it. I want to thank you for taking time to join us today, looking at these considerations we need to make when deploying a system refresh and why organizations should definitely be evaluating their current PC fleet. And folks, whether you're looking to distribute notebooks, tablets, traditional desktops, turn to PC Connection for the right Intel-based products and services to support your next rollout. They'll help you optimize your infrastructure with the right solution for your organization with a full range of services. To learn more, visit pcconnection.com/services, or you can call 1-800-800-0014 to get more information. You can also email us, happy to receive those, connect@pcconnection.com. With that, we're going to wrap things up. I'm James Hillier. Thanks again for joining us here on this installment of Connection Point.